You're tuned in to the Wiley and Sage Show with Dr. Diana Wiley, psychotherapist, board-certified sex therapist and gerontologist, and me, Bill Sage, alleged humorist. We're combining talents to bring you wise and witty journeys on sex and other subjects. That's right. We're exploring all aspects of aging with fun and wisdom. And now here's your host, Dr. Diana Wiley.
Good morning, everybody. We're entitling this program this morning, Mars and Venus 101. And in studio with us is Mitzi Gold, Dr. Mitzi Gold, the owner and director of the Mars and Venus Counseling Center. Good morning, Mitzi.
Good morning, Diana.
And it's great to have you here with us. And a week ago, last evening, Dr. John Gray, whose book, Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus, has sold, what, some 14
million copies around the world in 45 languages.
That's very impressive.
It is.
Most authors would salivate.
Translations written by men or women.
Oh, that's an interesting point. So Dr. John Gray was here in Hawaii last week and giving a Mars-Venus talk. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus, at the East-West Center last Friday. And we all attended, and then I hosted a small reception at my home for you and Dr. Gray. It was thrilling to have the opportunity to talk to him one-on-one.
Absolutely. He's so brilliant.
Yeah, he really is. And so if all goes well, we'll have a picture of Mitzi and Dr. Gray up on the website next to today's program, and also myself and Dr. Gray. So, he conceptualizes things so well, and he's so articulate.
Right, he simplifies things. All of a sudden, you can get it and use the material, whatever the subject is.
Yes, yes. And you are giving a Mars-Venus 101 today. Bill Sage is going to tell our listening audience about that.
Yes, the Mars-Venus Counseling Center, if you wish to call, at 737-MARS. That's the actual counseling center. Here, of course, it's 296-1420, which is a good place to call. And you can also go to the Mars-Venus 101 Kapilani Women's Center from 1 to 2 p.m. This is free.
Today.
Gratis. Today. Absolutely, without charge. Oh, just a quick corollary follow-up. I was making the joke about who wrote the translation. It would be interesting to see how different people are. Whoever the authors were that translated into the various languages, say, French, if you can find out which was the translator, male or female, and then have a, say the male wrote the book and translated into French, have a female translate the exact same book and see how close they are in the language. Because that would be a real definition. I mean, even if the same words are translated by a male or a female, would they come out identical in the foreign language?
Well, it would be interesting to find that out. I know that we assisted many times at the Tony Robbins events for Mastery on the Big Island, and we'd have probably, different participants from probably 30 countries or more at those workshops with their translators. And I can tell you that John Gray was a highlight at every single one of those courses. People loved and responded to him no matter where they came from. So it seems like he kind of speaks a universal language.
Last October 13th, you guest hosted for me on my old program on KHVH, and it was, of course, just a little over a month after September 11th, and I was in New York City at that time where New York was really coming together, and of course, you played for the listening audience John Gray doing a healing meditation, and I thought we should spend just a few minutes before we get into the real Mars-Venus topics to acknowledge that September 11th, we've had almost a year since the attacks to grapple with events of that day and try to resolve the shock and the terror, and in some cases, the upheaval of religious lives. How could God do this kind of thing? A lot of people have had to grapple with that. Susan Page wrote a beautiful column in The Current Midweek, came out at the beginning of this week, and the headline is Finding Healing in Remembering. And she points out that historian David McCullough has called September 11th, 2001, the worst day in America's history. It symbolizes both death and birth, the death of death, the birth of eternal life, death to tyranny, birth to freedom, death to naivete, birth of awesomeness. She writes well, and but what she points out mainly is, and I know this firsthand from my own major loss of my husband, but that remembering is actually part of healing, that we need to revisit. So let's take that down a notch, as I just did, and talk about counseling with people that have had a major loss. And don't you think it is important to remember?
I do, and actually, John has a book, Mars and Venus Starting Over. It's for people that have experienced a loss, or, you know, through death or divorce or separation of love. And I think that, you know, we all suffer a lot when we lose someone that we truly care for in our lives, and the relationship then is transformed to a different kind of relationship. It takes a while to be able to transition, you know, what was to now what is. But you're right, we don't want to forget the relationship and maybe what we learned from that person. And,
exactly.
And we do want to, you know, that's part of our lives, the continuity of our history of our lives. And we want to be able then, of course, at some point to be able to move on and fully get into and experience our lives into the future.
It for each person, it's an individual kind of process. But it generally takes about a year, sometimes two years, to go down that path of grief and then emerge perhaps even stronger and more whole, because you can be potentially more forgiving and less judgmental and more spiritual. All of those things, fortunately, have happened to me.
Right. Usually, you know, for our courses and starting over, we would usually recommend at least 6 months, because it takes a while, and I think that people recommend a year so that you can go through all of the different seasons and all of the different occasions that you've experienced that relationship, and, you know, begin to allow that kind of organic process to let it go, to realize that life is different now, and to kind of begin to accept that. It takes, you know, even if we can in our mind understand, yes, this has happened to my life, emotionally, we're a little bit slower to really grasp that, you know, now I feel differently too.
You'll be talking about Mars and Venus Starting Over today at Kehlani Women's Center. It's free. We'll repeat that again.
From 1 to 2 p.m.
1 to 2 p.m., part of Women's Health Month. The Kehlani Women's Center is doing some great stuff.
They are. Suzanne Allen over there coordinates many of the programs, and they have some great yoga classes and facial exercise classes and Reiki classes and classes for mommy baby aerobics and all kinds of fun things, you know, just to keep you inspired and healthy. And I always feel good when I support that center. It's just a wonderful place to go for women in particular. Men, too, are invited, of course.
I've done some menopause and sexuality groups there, and like it very much.
Actually, you know, Diane, I forgot to mention this to you when we were talking earlier, but you do know that John Gray has a radio show out here in Hawaii.
Yes, and you know what? We can certainly plug that, even though it's on another station.
Yes.
Go ahead. I mean, this is my show, so.
You know why? Because a lot of the folks that were at the workshop this weekend were listeners from the radio show, and we are blessed to have John Gray Monday through Friday, every single day, 6 to 10 a.m. on AM 990, He's broadcasting live from Mill Valley and Michael Nigerian from Phoenix, and they do a terrific show.
Yeah, they do. I have listened, of course. Very good show. And but going back, so yes, listeners, you may want to try that out, and I know you'll no doubt be enthralled and learn something. I mean, people really do call in, as we hope you do this morning.
Yes.
296-1420.
That's it. And we also have a toll-free number for those of you on neighboring islands, and that is 866-400-1420. So we will be taking questions. You have actually two mental health professionals in the studio. And then so two psychotherapists and maybe one psycho over there in the middle stage.
May I have some insight? No, master. No, if I just may, this is
the only
time I'm going to be in the soapbox, and I'm going to shut up for the rest of it. But remembering 9/11,
yeah.
Sometimes when people say we have to heal this, well, healing does not come by passive all the time. For example, a spokesman for the Arab League said if the U.S. goes into the Middle East, it will open the gates of hell. This is not so. The gates of hell opened in New York, Washington, D.C., and Pennsylvania on September 11th.
Mm-hmm.
If and when the U.S. goes into the Middle East, it'll be to close the gates of hell.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have to say about that.
Well, it's profound, and we have complicated issues here, and certainly people are very emotional about all of this, as well they should be. Let's go back to Mars and Venus 101. You're going to talk about starting over between 1 and 2 this afternoon, and what else?
Well, we're going to cover all the topics that John's written about in his books. We're going to cover, of course, the classic, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. A little bit from Mars and Venus on a date, which is always fun to understand the five stages of dating.
Oh, well, let's go over those right now.
Acceptance, denial.
I know, that's grieving.
Same, yeah. I tell you, no respect.
What are the five stages of dating?
Attraction, uncertainty, exclusivity, intimacy, and engagement.
Yeah.
And it's a really wonderful experience if you follow along with those one stage at a time, but usually people jump ahead.
Right, because they get too enthusiastic or they're so maybe even desperate to be part of a couple.
How does one diplomatically say on the first date when you realize you want it to be the last date, do you think we should discuss a prenuptial divorce?
I think that would do it.
That would do it, no doubt.
And also I'll be covering a little bit from Starting Over, as you said, and Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, Children Are From Heaven.
Oh.
A lot of folks don't realize John has written a parenting book about how to raise cooperative, compassionate children. And it's really a beautiful book about how to raise children today.
Yes.
Even in the terrible twos?
All of them. He talked about how to bring out the best in your child.
He's written 14 books. Very prolific man.
He is.
I would like to. A point of order, Madam Chairman. I do remember my youngest boy, God bless him, turns 14 today. But I remember when he was...
Oh, today.
Yeah,
happy birthday to Marky.
But... I do remember the time he was about, maybe 2.1, Mark version 2.1, and we were at, Diane Hansen Young was having a party unveiling some new paintings and stuff. She was a friend of mine. And Mark was being, as my wife called him, J.A., Junior Hole. And he was just running and screaming, and of course, it was she who always said, I will never hit my children, right? And she was the one who just said, that tears it. If you don't shut up, I'm going to spank your butt on you with you never said anything. And he actually shut up. So he might have been from heaven, but I think he was from the hell neighborhood of heaven.
that particular day.
And then he went, you hurt my feelings! No, she hurt your butt.
Well, sometimes a little pat on the butt, but I don't really believe in spanking, but a little pat like that can get their attention.
Oh, yeah.
When my daughter was 13...
Kate was unreasonable?
At times, and yes, she was.
Heaven forfend.
And I remember at the time, her stepfather said, there's a wonderful Arab curse, and it is this, may all your daughters be 13. So there are a lot of parents that could I think, used John Gray's book.
Oh, definitely.
And I haven't read that one. And I'm sort of, fortunately, I don't have to do too much parenting anymore with my kids being 26 and 22, but great kids, too. So, but it sounds like it's a wonderful book.
It is. It really allows parents to begin to have a way of understanding their child and then to know what to do with their child.
What to do with them. Exactly right. We're going to go to our first break of the morning. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a little more about Mars, Venus, and how. What about the gender differences in terms of sexuality and communication? And so you'll want to hear all of that, so please stay with us.
The Wiley and Sage Show will be right back after these words from our sponsors. Please stay tuned.
Because it is 98% accurate in ruling out coronary heart disease, people have a keen interest in EBT heart scanning. But full body scanning can also detect early signs of stroke, cancer, and other diseases.
Holistica Hawaii employs electron beam tomography for scans of the heart, brain, chest, abdomen, pelvis, and bone density.
Sometimes early detection is everything.
Holistica, Hawaii's high-tech center for the practice of preventive medicine.
If you're like me, or you know someone like me, that means you don't have enough romantic time with your partner. I say it's time for a romantic getaway at the Outrigger Waikoloa Beach on the Big Island, September 27th through the 29th. This is the time for you two to create special time together with the Sweetheart Special. And it includes Dr. Diana Wiley's Making Relationships and Sex Better seminar. Discounted room rates from $145 a night with a car, $171, which for two nights would be $290 or $342 with a car. A very nice package. Such a deal. An enchanting evening. This is a board game that promotes intimacy, communication, laughter, and romance. The game will set the stage and new players can make it an enchanted evening yourselves. It sold over 1 million copies. Yes, it really works. You'll also receive a bottle of champagne and chocolate-covered strawberries. Now, this relationship-enhancing romantic getaway can be yours for the really low all-inclusive price of just $450 total. Call toll-free 800-922-5533 to book the weekend. That's toll-free 800-922-5533 to book the weekend. Yes, especially if you're up to your eyebrows in work and family concerns, you need this time to concentrate on one another. The real reason we were put together in the first place, right? To love, laugh, and be sexually happy.
The Wiley and Sage Show is back right now, and the phone lines are open. Feel free to call us at 296-1420, or if you're on the cell, star 1420 or pound 1420.
A reminder that getaway will be October 11th through the 13th. Is that correct?
Yes. The romantic getaway at the Waikoloa Outrigger will be October 11th through the 13th, and very shortly, all of the details will be up on the website, WileyAndSage.com, WileyAndSage.com. And if you want more information, because I am picking up some brochures that I'm having printed this morning, you can email me through the website. Just click on the email button and say, I want more information about this romantic getaway. Nitzi, I'm sure you'll agree with me that sometimes a couple just getting away together, focusing on each other, concentrating, creating a lovely time can make all the difference.
I think it's a necessity.
Yes.
You have to get away from your mundane, regular life. I mean, it's nice to have moments during your day when you might give hugs and kisses and be close and maybe hold each other at night. But, oh, those romantic getaways are the best.
They're the best. And I think that as a minimum, maybe once every 3 months.
Yeah.
As a minimum. Particularly if you have children, you've got to get away with your partner and say, you know, we're not just mom and dad, we're husband and wife.
You know, it's so great, you know, when I see couples in counseling, they know how important it is to have a date night. Before, in the years previous, you had to kind of convince people.
Right.
You know, it's time that you took some time out and had an adult conversation and enjoyed each other's company. And you know, it's a little more hard to sell, but now people realize, hey, if for our relationship to survive, we have take some time,
I recommend it to my couples, too. I think a lot of counselors do, with such good results. You know, it doesn't have to cost a lot of money.
No. can walk on the beach.
That's
you
right.
can take a hike.
You can have a picnic on the beach.
Yeah.
I mean, we are so lucky to live in paradise here, my goodness.
I know.
And so just to focus in on each other. So this Waikoloa getaway, and later on you'll hear a spot for the local Hawaii Polo Inn getaway, which is everything except a seminar with me. But it's a local getaway, and the price is right. And the Hawaii Polo Inn is across from the Ilikai. So now, in your vast experience as a couples counselor, Mitzi, and you've been doing this kind of work. Of course, you work with individuals too. But what are some of the top three? What are the top three issues most typical facing a couple seeking marriage counseling?
Well, I think number one is that they have issues, and through the development of their relationship over time, they've developed a lot of hurt and pain. So I think being able to release the past heal and to forgive each other, of course, a great skill for any couples, the best skill is to be able to apologize and forgive each other and move on. Because otherwise you just keep collecting all of these hurts and
grievances.
Then every time you look at your partner, that's what you see, you know, is that hurt and pain that has been created between the two of you. So to be able to really clear it and to move on and to resolve issues.
And that's where counseling can help, because you facilitate that for the
right.
couple. Because so many couples have been so bogged down in all of these grievances that they're stuck.
Right. Well, we can process the past, and also I teach couples how to do it for themselves, so that, because, you know, our life isn't going to be perfect once we've processed our past. We're going to keep creating things every day, so we have to be able to have those skills to keep letting go and to keep having the insight to understand what is going on in our relationship, how we've created it, and to move on, you know, so that we continue to evolve as a couple. You know, a lot of times people say, oh, well, like when I got married, you know, I just kind of stayed right there at that level. But the point when you get into a relationship is to grow together, to share, to open up, to inspire each other.
John Gray, and I know you use this theory, the rubber band theory, sometimes one of the people in the relationship doesn't want to go to the next level, the higher level, the new level, and so they'll pull away. And you say you have to hold on to your center. So let the other person go. This would be particularly in, a non-committed relationship.
Well, I think that...
But maybe even in a committed, let the person go and maybe they'll come back. But it's the rubber band. Talk more about that rubber band.
Right.
Theory.
Well, John talks about the ways in which men and women experience intimacy. Now, for women to experience intimacy, when they get close to a man and they like experiencing that closeness and intimacy, they want more. And give me more, and this is
more.
Great.
Ooh,
let's get closer.
Good.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, Diana. So
yeah. That
you know, that's kind of the way that intimacy is for us. We have a great capacity for love and warmth and closeness with our partner. However, for men, it's a little bit different, and John explains this by the rubber band theory, which is men like to get close and feel that closeness with the woman that they love, and then they pull away. Just, it's a natural reaction, and it's to experience their autonomy and to experience their life again. And oftentimes they're not even aware that they do this, but they just naturally pull away, do whatever they want to do. Then they, you know, kind of miss, you know, the woman of their life, and they
maybe even the sex.
Oh, they get a little horny, mm-hmm. and then they start thinking about you, focus again, and come back in. And, you know, when you think about love and intercourse, that's the excitement, is the in and out. And that,
mm-hmm.
that's the natural
pull
thing.
Pull away, come back. Oh, time to go.
Right.
Oh,
and
come back.
So that's kind of the natural way that the relationship works. Now, in terms of holding your center, the problem is that a lot of times women experience when men start to pull away and they start to run after them. You know, what's going on? Why are you going? You know, stay and play. You know, I want to be with you. And men keep going, you know, because they never have the chance then to get away if the woman's always chasing after them. So the more that you're able to hold your center, to then have your life be okay and continue on with your life when they go off to a football game or to work on their computer, the sooner probably they'll come around looking for you.
Of course, sometimes if you want to be intimate during football, you run into the classic Mars-Venus conundrum. As Susan Page discovered, she was talking about trying to tackle Mars and Venus. Football started, of course, Jerry and Susan were on the show a couple weeks ago. So there they are having sort of a football party, and Susan's got it figured out. She was a Miss Texas and Miss America contest. Texas knows about football somewhat. But she didn't really follow football up beyond the cheerleading stage, but the guys continued to evolve. So here she is thinking she can handle it. The Mars-Venus moment. She's sandwiched between two guys watching the Chargers play the 49ers, right? And they're talking, they've taken football speak to a whole new level, even above her fluency. And one of the guys says, look at that lining up, I didn't get a blitz. Camera zooms in on the center's backside. Susan says, I wonder what get that dirt red stain out of his white pants. Maybe Biz. A comment completely ignored by the guys. Went on like this the whole game. She realized she was trying to be close when she didn't have to be.
Well, she also, when one of the guys got sacked or something, she said, oh, his mother must feel so badly for him. Because.
And the other quote, they didn't seem to hear me.
Yeah.
What are you, nuts? Go get some beer. Shut up. You know. But that's okay. That's a guy's betraying affection. We need you to get our beer and chips. We love you. If you weren't there, we'd have to be the striker for the football. You know we appreciate you. And just shut up and get the beer. I love you. Sort of a thing.
It highlights gender differences, the Mars-Venus thing, doesn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
We see it every day.
Of course, what would happen if your husband came home from a hard day at work and you've been working your butt off and he says, honey, I need to be held. And he does that every day. Then you go, whoa, wait a minute.
Oh, well, that's actually a pretty good lead-in because Dr. Gray and Dr. Gold, who is in our studio this morning, you talk about how at some level, really, women expect the man to be the protector, to keep the woman safe. Now, she may not always be conscious of it, but, you know, I think back to my first marriage, and this is the father of my children, too, and we were so different, and I was 29, I mean, when we married, so it was my first marriage, and we were so different, and in a way, opposites attract, but we just can't live together. You know, as the years went on, we were so, so different, but one of the things that really attracted me to Frank was that he was a 2 feet on the ground, and I was impulsive and all over the place, and he was a protector, and I felt safe with him. I had some abandonment issues from my father's death when I was 14, and I was close to my dad, so, you know, it felt like safe, and that goes on.
It does, and it's interesting that you bring it up, because a lot of times we don't necessarily think about, as you said, consciously that, you know, we're picking out someone that would be there for us and protect us in any kind of circumstance, but that is the case. And in a lot of ways, we can protect ourselves now. You know, we have the police, we have Mace, we have, you know, all kinds of alarm systems and everything else. But there is that aspect of wanting a man to be there to protect us if something comes up. Now, a lot of times we don't need that. So for many relationships, it's kind of a man is out of a job because this isn't really necessary. And, you know, we have to look to other roles that the man can now take on, which is now to emotionally support us.
I'd be willing to bet that more marriages that end in divorce, the statistics, I don't know the stats, but I bet that more marriages that are irreconcilably broken are caused by needy husbands as opposed to infidelities. I mean, did you think about the type of man who is really depends on the woman, no matter how it's manifested, as opposed to the jerk who's just going out screwing around? That must drive a woman nuts if the husband doesn't show any of the so-called macho things, which is one of the things that instinctively attracts a woman to a man.
Well, there are some couples that are role reversed. So they're women that are very Martian and men that are more Venusian. And so I think that
Wallace,
sometimes...
Wallace, Warfield, Simpson, and Edward?
Well, possibly.
I give up the throne for the women I love.
Well, I don't know too much about him. But, you know, that sometimes women do say to me, you know, I just want him to be strong.
Yes, and then there's another thing, that a lot of people are looking for somebody else to fill them up. You know, we have the Hollywood concept of romance. I remember Tom Cruise in Jerry Maguire, and he told a woman, "You complete me." People will sigh and say, "Isn't that just the sweetest thing in the world?" You know, it makes good drama, but not for good relationships.
You mean you weren't complete before you met me?
Well, the ideal thing is to be whole and complete, and when we come back from the break, we'll talk a little bit more about that. And part of that is differentiation. That's a psychological term that actually comes from biology originally, but we'll talk a little bit about that and more about Mars and Venus 101. Stay with us, please.
The Wiley and Sage Show will be right back after a brief message, so please stay tuned to KCZN 1420 AM.
We provide the world's best detection of heart disease, plus technology to discover precancerous conditions or tendency for stroke.
EBT technology is a serious breakthrough. It has high resolution and the greatest speed of any scanner, with 50% less radiation.
And genomic testing and ultrasound, and we can determine a person's state of health, even detect a predisposition to disease.
Holistica, Hawaii's high-tech center for the practice of preventive medicine.
Dr. Barry Miller, my HRT doctor, has an anti-aging medical practice in Kailua. Please call 230-2400 for free information on natural hormones compounded by MedQuest Pharmacy. I feel great. You can too. Please call 230-2400.
The Wiley and Sage Show is back right now, and the phone lines are open. Feel free to call us at 296-1420, or if you're on the cell, star 1420 or pound 1420.
We're back, and we're here this morning with Dr. Mitzi Gold, who is the owner and director of Mars Venus Counseling Center, and that's right nearby. Where is your center?
We're at the top of Kapahulu Avenue at Kilohana Square, and I'm right above India Cafe, which is getting to be a well-known cafe, a little cafe. And
do you ever get scents of curry kind of wafting up?
No, I don't. I'm more into aromatherapy myself.
Women are from Gujarat. Women are from New Delhi. And Delhi is right downstairs.
Yeah, aromatherapy. Yeah.
Yes.
Things like lavender, which you're wearing. You look beautiful in lavender.
Thank you. Yeah, ylang ylang and bergamot, yeah. And orange and all those wonderful scents. So when people come in, they can relax and kind of open up. And
yes, you actually have a background in healing and in massage.
Yes, I do. And more and more I see the need for people to really be able to integrate their minds and their bodies. So when I see couples or even individuals, I usually go through a process where I look at their whole lives, the way they live, from their sleep to their diet to their friendships to how they view spirituality to their careers and health, the whole person.
So it's a very holistic kind of approach, and I think in my experience, that really does work. Differentiation, I talked about that just a little bit before the break. It basically involves balancing two life forces, the drive for individuality and the drive for togetherness. And it is really your ability to maintain a sense of self when you are emotionally and or physically close to another, especially as they become increasingly important. So it's really not emotional fusion. It's standing up for yourself. It's holding on to yourself, which is another way of saying holding on to your center, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not letting your anxiety run away from you and not getting overactive. And if partners look to their partner for validation all the time, they're going to be in trouble. It's about, you know, we see this with couples or with individuals who've done a lot of personal growth work. They can pat themselves on the shoulder. It's not that they don't need external validation, but they can give it to themselves internally. and hold on to themselves, but that means that they're pretty far along, that they're really feeling whole unto themselves.
Right. They know when they've done a good job. And I think that Bill was saying something about, you know, that sense of being complete within yourself, not being completed by someone else. Now, the problem is a lot of times in that 21 to 28 age range, which is when we develop the self-love and begin to understand our capacities and who we are, if we're not careful and we jump into relationship, we don't have a developed self, we can really give up and sacrifice a lot of ourselves for our partner.
Yes.
And, of course, for women, there's an abundance of estrogen and really wanting to support
and nurture.
Right,
and
all of that. And then right around age 28, that shifts a little bit, and then women kind of are like, well, what about me? And what about my life?
Right.
And that's when divorce usually happens.
Yeah.
There was a wonderful analogy in Khalil Gibran's A Prophet from many years ago talking about the way a man and woman can hold on. He made the analogy of pillars in a temple. So the pillars aren't right next to each other. They need space to support but the entire beauty of the structures. But they're there together. They both work to hold the whole house of love together, in effect. But you put the pillars together, the roof collapses.
Good point. Let there be spaces in your togetherness. And, you know, I think if we can be two whole people coming together, potentially...
It's a lot better than two skin people.
Yeah, that's right. But potentially then, one and one can be three or more because of the synergy of the relationship. Unfortunately, if you're in your 20s, and as John Gray would say, your love tanks haven't been filled up and you're still developing... You may have one half and one half coming together and hoping to make one whole. And usually those kind of, they often have nuances of neediness and clinginess, and it gets kind of icky.
What was that line from Jason Alexander in Seinfeld? Yeah, I was thinking about going to a hooker, but I didn't feel loved.
Oh, yeah. The difference between want and need, I think... ideally, if you're considering somebody, you should be able to say, boy, I want you even more than I need you. That is to say, yeah, I can live without you, but I can live lots better with you.
Oh, you're a nice bit of crumpet. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So the difference between want and need. And that's, you know, one reason relationships can get really good. Usually somewhere around 40 and beyond.
Right.
It's because people are more developed and they've taken time to work on themselves and then they bring more to the relationship.
Right. Maturity is an incredible process, isn't it?
Isn't it? You know, do you ever think back about your 20s and say, ooh.
She married me? God, what was she thinking? Oh, she got wise, and now I'm not married, but no.
You're personalizing this a little bit, Bill.
No, I'm externalizing. Trying to get in touch with my outer child.
You don't need to do that.
Okay.
Your child is so well-developed. We've established that.
Baby Huey.
Well, the people often, though, think that they can change their partner, and this is one of those things that happens when you're in your 20s. You have this notion that...
you're square dancing.
Change your partners. you know, dump the partner and trade up for a better one. They think all of this, but none of this will make a difference unless you decide to kind of clean house inside yourself first. And there is, in behavioral therapy, there is a change first principle. And haven't you found in counseling couples that a lot of times, especially in the beginning stages of the counseling, there's this notion that, well, you know, it's his problem or it's her problem and she needs to change. Whereas if the individual gets it that they have to change first, then that's going to set up a whole dynamic in the relationship, and the other person may change or may not, but may change. What's your experience with that, Mitzi?
Well, I think that what you're talking about is like the first premise in personal development, which is to take responsibility.
Right.
That as soon as you blame out, you lose your personal power. Because you cannot change anyone.
Right.
So you really only have the power to change yourself, and with that, you change your universe.
And really, power a good description, a good definition of power is the ability to have control over your own life. Not somebody else's.
Right.
But your own life. And can you affect change in your life? It does begin with you. Perhaps you have to become the kind of person who commands quality and inspires respect and settles for nothing less than active and abiding love. I was very fortunate being married to Charlie Peach because I felt cherished and I had this kind of active and abiding love, and it was back and forth.
Reciprocal, right?
Reciprocal is the word.
Right. It's such a beautiful experience, you know. In fact, that kind of ties into number two, which is to be able to create that romance, that ongoing romance, that love, that openness, that responsivity, that receptivity to each other. It's an ongoing play between two people. And then, of course, number three is communication. But that romance part is so important, ongoing.
Ongoing, and that's why the getaways are important. That's why giving your partner a gift is important. Occasionally, a surprise is very romantic. Kissing is so romantic. We've talked about that even recently, haven't we, Bill?
Darling, if I enjoy you anymore, I'm going to get a fun cramp.
Oh, good heavens. A fun cramp. Laughing together is can be a lot of fun.
Right. You know, actually, that's
almost like laughgasms.
That's interesting that you should bring that up because I just received a beautiful engagement ring from Frank. We've actually been engaged for 8 years, but I never, you know, we never really got the ring.
Oh, this sparkling, and it's so beautiful.
And
it's the dirt, Doris. Oh, yeah.
It's one of
baby, Sadie, married lady.
It's actually, it has, it's a Hearts on Fire diamond. We got it from this beautiful store on Kalakaua Facets Diamonds and Time, and it's a Hearts on Fire diamond, and it in the girdle of the ring is lasered in, so you can see it with a little jeweler's magnifying glass. Love, laughter, and enlightenment. And that's what Frank gave to me. Yeah, I love it.
Oh.
I'm awestruck.
You know, I've seen you and Frank. We always spend time together.
But are you happy, Dolly? We just want you to be happy. No, we just want to look at you. You don't have to talk. We just want to look at you.
Look,
okay.
Yeah, but look at how she's glowing. I mean, you two have been together a long time, and in your presence, the two of you, you get it. You two just love each other and support each other.
Yeah.
And he's such a handsome guy.
Yeah.
I mean, in addition to everything else, of course, you're a beautiful woman, but, you know, beautiful inside and outside, isn't
it
that?
It just works, you know,
lovely?
And I just have to say, I never settled. You know, I just always had that sense that I was going to find the right person that I would feel at home with. He feels like family.
Yes. The real sense of home.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And your best friend.
Yeah.
And, you know, while we're talking about relationships, I have seen Bill with his significant other, Belle, and she just worships you. Bill provided some great stand-up comedy at a party I gave for a good friend last Saturday night, kind of This Is Your Life, and I watched Belle's face, and she just is looking at Bill with awe, and she just appreciates your brilliance.
And vice versa.
I know, and your wonderful sense of humor, as do I. I'm so glad you're my co-host.
Oh, thank
you. We're just lots of mutuality here, admiring.
Is this a mutual admiration society or an admiral mutilation society? Start mutilating. We're getting old. Matter of fact, one day I was, like, before we go to the break,
yes,
quickly, Belle invented a word. Just it came out, I'm not sure what she was trying to say, and it came out of nowhere. It's so apropos. I was just getting effusive of how much I really appreciated and loved her. And she said, oh, come on, you're getting all squeamy on me. Squeamy?
Squeamy.
I don't know. Where'd that work? I don't know. We'll put in the book. You don't have to love them that much. Oh, darling. Oh, you're getting all squeamy. Oh, yeah.
But, you know, that's another thing that can be great between couples. There are little pet names and words, and it's like a code between just the two of you.
Oh, yeah.
So that actually increases intimacy.
Yeah.
So before we go to the break, just remember, Zonald Jerns Kernzel, Cliff Lefiachmes.
Great. Well, on that, we'll go to the break.
Stay tuned for more of Wiley and Sage right after these messages here on KCCN 1420 AM.
A virtual colonography requires no sedation and no invasive probe.
Look, I had a colonoscopy when I turned 45, and I'll have another one around 55. But in between, this is a great checkup.
EBT scanning is highly effective in detecting the conditions that lead to colon cancer.
Hey, I'm not taking any chances, but I'm not putting up with that probe more often than I have to.
Holistica, Hawaii's high-tech center for the practice of preventive medicine.
We're really glad you listened to Wiley and Sage right here on the radio because it makes you ready for romance, doesn't it? You bet your bippy it does. So if you're ready for romance, then how about a local romantic getaway right here on Oahu at the Hawaii Polo Inn? Well, here it is. They've got a sweetheart special for one romantic evening anytime, including discounted room rates for the spectacular Bamboo Suite. Mm-hmm, the Bamboo Suite. An enchanting evening. That's the board game that promotes intimacy, communication, laughter, and romance. The game sets the stage, and you, the players, make it the enchanting evening. It sold over a million copies, and it really works. As a matter of fact, you can check it out on our website, wileyandsage.com. You also get a bottle of champagne and chocolate-covered strawberries, and all this, folks, for the amazing price of just $140. Now, there's something else, too. If you decide to go a little bit higher, we have an optional dream cruise or a sail on a private 45-foot sailboat, and what happens on the water is up to you and King Neptune. Well, call 949-0061 to book this special time together because you deserve it. Yes, that's the romantic getaway at the Hawaii Polo Inn. The number again, 949-0061.
The Wiley and Sage Show is back right now and the phone lines are open. Feel free to call us at 296-1420 or if you're on the cell, star 1420 or pound 1420.
Yes, the perfect place to play Pune Polo. Yes, indeed.
At the Polo, Hawaii Polo Inn.
Mm-hmm. Only $140 a night. Can't beat that.
Well, and that includes the game.
Yes.
An enchanting evening and champagne.
Does it include the saddle and the leather and the whips?
It doesn't include that.
Saddle and leather and whips. Oh, my.
Does not.
How long have you been in the Polo Inn? Crowd looker.
Okay, we're going to go from that to a really amazing story that John Gray writes about, which illustrates, you know, a really important point in life, but it's a story that is poignant, and Bill, would you share it with us?
Sure. This is John speaking. On my honeymoon, I received a call informing me that my father had been found dead. He'd been robbed by a hitchhiker and left in the trunk of his car. After a few hours under the hot Texas sun, he died of heat stroke. After the funeral, I wanted to connect with my father to feel what he might have gone through. With my mother and siblings around me, I got into the trunk of his car and they closed the lid. I saw the marks where he'd banged on the roof with a screwdriver. I saw where he'd tried to pry open the latch. Then I discovered he'd pulled back one of the rear light encasements to get air. I extended my hand through the hole for a brief moment. As I was pulling my hand back in, my brother on the outside said, "See if you can reach around and push the button." I stretched my arm out of the hole and pushed the button, and the trunk opened. We were stunned. If only he'd thought of this, he'd still be alive. But it took my brother on the outside to notice the button. Sometimes you have to step outside of the situation if you feel trapped in to see that you're not trapped after all.
So you're getting outside of the situation and getting some perspective. And sometimes we need some professional intervention to do that.
I think that's what couples today are doing. You know, at one point, I think years ago, there was some stigma attached to getting some counseling. But now I think that couples have a lot of confidence that they can go for counseling and get some insight and get some help, some skills. And maybe be able to continue, because so many couples I see want to stay together. And sometimes there's just so much pain, they just don't know what to do. So, you know, they've made the decision, yes, we're going to go get some help, and hopefully we will be able to stay together, because that's ultimately what they want.
And it's a scary single world out there. The specter of AIDS is still on the horizon, I mean, sometimes couples really do need to go forward with a divorce. And you and I both do divorce mediation work, which helps the couple work through the emotional divorce and not make similar mistakes in some future relationship. So figuring out what was good in the relationship, what wasn't so good, what was my part, what was his or her part.
And also how to, if they do get a divorce, oftentimes I hold people that have children to a higher standard. That they,
as well,
yeah, that
we
they
should.
Need to really look at what they're doing, and if indeed there is no solution and they need to get a divorce, continuing to co-parent and be there for their kids.
And that's so important, because children of divorce, if their parents are co-parenting and say to the kids, you know, we're a family still, we're just in a different form. But those kids, and Wallerstein's study show that about one-third of children of divorce can actually become more confident and more resilient if they have regular contact with both parents, and both parents are still communicating together about the children, which is what I had with the father of my children.
Right. Otherwise, they have to kind of deal with that conflict and that emotional chaos, and, you know, they have to deal with that. And nowadays, the kids, at a very young age, I've had like 2 and 3 year olds that are, you know, kind of trying to help their parents out. You know, they're kind of aware of what's going on and trying to help. And of course, they don't have the perspective, but kids nowadays are very intelligent about what's going on between their parents. They can pick it up.
But it's not fair to the child.
No,
and the child's development is often interfered with when say mom talks to a young child about her problems with the child's father. I mean, this is not appropriate.
Right, exactly.
Now, people in Hawaii, many people have insurance that covers a huge part of mental health counseling.
Right, we're definitely a health state, an insurance state, so a lot of people come to see me and use their insurance, and that's great.
And a lot can be accomplished in just 5 sessions.
Right. It doesn't have to be long-term. It depends on how much work the client is willing to do. Maybe they're willing to read or do some insightful work or journal writing or processing. So
yes,
it's important. I wanted to say just briefly, though, that this experience that John Gray had with the loss of his father also allowed him to develop his healing work.
Yes, I can only imagine.
Yes, because he's had to heal from a number of situations that were very deeply painful in his life.
Trial by fire. Having been there, you often have much more compassion and understanding about what you need to do, the work you need to do. Mitzi Gold, director of the Mars and Venus Counseling Center, and you can reach her at 737-MARS, M-A-R-S. And today, between 1 and 2, she'll be at Kapi'olani Women's Health Center, which is on Baratania, right?
And Artesian.
That's free today. So
the corner of Baratania and Artesian?
Yeah, but just up from McCulley, right? Yeah. And so we've had...
I live on the corner of Baratania and Artesian.
Yeah. That's
the Sovereign.
You do.
Is it the same building?
All right. Let me just thank Mitzi so much, Mitzi.
Thank you, Diana.
And I wanted...
Bill.
You're welcome. And you'll be back, of course, next week, Alice Ann Parker. She is a psychic, and she analyzes dreams, and maybe some of you will want to call in. She had her own radio program called Dreamline for 5 years in Hawaii. Some of you will remember her. She's written a couple of books on dreams. Should be an interesting hour, as this morning's was. Thank you again, Mitzi.
Thank you.
And don't forget the Mars and Venus 101 seminar at the Kapi'olani Women's Center from 1 to 2 p.m. It's free. If you do not know where the Kapi'olani Women's Center is, it's at the corner of Punahou and Bingham Street on that big block that has Central Union Church.
No. Yep, that's not it.
That's not it. Okay. I made a mistake.
Anyway.
It's there. Anyway, so Queens Hill.
Yeah.
Call.
Okay. Aloha.
See you next time.
No, that is, you're thinking.
Thanks for listening to Wiley and Sage Wise and Witty Journeys. Please tune in next week for more laugh out loud laments, observations, moans, and groans, all of which add up to the perfect antidote for the age depressed. Until next week, keep your chin up and your feet happy.
and keep it right here on HernNet Radio, where, as always, music and talk is just one click away.